Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 153 for June 1st, 2010, Symphony of Science. Net at Night is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Reduce cost, improve efficiencies, and help your company's bottom line with GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit gotomeeting.com/night. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Orlando, Florida.
You're in our neck of the woods. Hi, Amber.
Hello, Leo. Yes, it's great to be in sunny Orlando. And I've been to Florida many times, as you know. I've spent a lot of time here, but this is for work, so I don't get to go to the beach and hang out with the family, unfortunately.
Oh, bummer, man.
That's okay, though. It's still nice.
You're speaking?
Yeah, I'm speaking at an event tomorrow at NACE to a bunch of educators. I'm doing another Education 2.0 speech, which is pretty much my favorite type of talk to do because educators are purely interested in teaching people through social media, not necessarily making money. And so I find it really rewarding.
Our good friend Don Tapscott, also from Toronto, is a big fan of this new kind of digital stuff. And really a great guy on this. I actually would like to, can I watch your speech anyway? Because I'm giving a speech on Monday to my kids' high school, to the teachers, to explain what's going on in this new world of new media and how that changes how they do business. So you're absolutely right. This is huge.
That's great. You know, I don't think they're broadcasting it online, but I would love to send you some of the links and case studies I use, Leo, just to save you some time because there's some great examples. I would love to. Yeah, no problem at all.
Hey, I like this. I'm getting you to write my speech for me.
Anything for you, Leo. I'll get you to pay me back somehow.
I'll pay you back some. Come have lunch with us in the Twit Cottage. We're having a bit of a party right now.
I can't believe it. I didn't know Sarah Lane had joined you guys. So that's fantastic.
Today, June 1st, as we record this, we have two new full-time employees, Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane. Tom is going to host, of course, Tech News Today, which launches today right after this show. And Becky Worley, who was the original producer of Call for Help and the Screensavers on Tech TV and is now the tech person for ABC News and Good Morning America, is going to do his show 3 days a week. She's just fantastic. So that's amazing, such good news that we were able to get Becky Worley on the team. And then Sarah Lane is joining the team full time. She and I are going to do a show on the iPad, and she's going to co-host our Green Tech show. It's Green Tech Today. With Dr. Kiki. So we are launching a lot of stuff in the month of June. I'm very excited.
That is awesome, Leo. Yeah. Wow, your dreams are coming true.
Yeah, it could be my nightmare. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It used to be, it's funny, it's an interesting experience going through a startup. And I've been on the other, you know, as an employee, but never as the boss. And it's nerve-wracking. It's scary. And it's also, in a little way, it's difficult. I guess life is difficult because life is just ever changing. And so you're always leaving the past behind. And if you were attached to the past, whether it's I'm thinking about this because my daughter graduates from high school on Friday. So whether it's your daughter growing up or your business, which used to just be a one-man shop, then it was just me and Dane. It was this cozy little cottage. This was my office. This wasn't a TV studio. Now it's not my office. The next shift comes in after this, and it's a TV studio. And so it's a big change to go through. You know, it's not a personal business anymore.
It's amazing, though, Leo. Like, I still can't stop thinking back to the days standing on set with you at Call for Help when you talked about how you would just love to create your own network, do it from your home or from an office in Petaluma, and you're doing it. I mean, it's so inspirational.
I'm very fortunate. I have surrounded myself with really great people, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes that people don't even, you know, really much know about, like Lisa Kensell, who's our CEO, and Ken Shepherdson, who's replaced Colleen as our director of engineering, and my office admin, Frederic, and of course Dane, and there are a lot of people here who make this happen who are not on camera. And I'm just really lucky. I surrounded myself with nice people.
Are you going to outgrow the Twit Cottage?
Oh, yeah. In fact, don't tell the landlord. But we just outgrew it. For the first time, we have three bathrooms. For the first time, I couldn't go to the bathroom. They're all three of them were full. So there's 12 people in here eating lunch, and that's how many people are going to be in here. And we outgrew it, and we're starting to look for a larger place. And instead of, I don't know if you remember me talking about building a studio out in the big room here. We were going to do that, but now I think it's pretty obvious that why waste time building a studio there? We've outgrown this space already. So we're looking for property around Petaluma, and we're going to build a studio there. This will be our second Petaluma studio, but I can tell you this now. I think it's fairly likely that the next studio we build 5 or 6 years from now will be in San Francisco. I think that we need to move the network to San Francisco. And once my kids have grown, there's nothing to keep me in Petaluma. So we'll probably move to San Francisco in a few years.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to cry. There's so many changes.
Well, now I have to start thinking about a roadmap, right?
Yeah,
and you know, so. I shouldn't ever say anything because things change. You know, we're still talking about a studio in New York, and I hope you'll come down to that.
Yeah, I would love to.
We'll probably have, I think, at the end of the road, 4 or 5 years out, a New York studio, a San Francisco studio, and that's then I don't know what after that. Then it's catch as catch can. We'll see what happens.
Exciting.
But
very
enough
cool.
about me. We've got a great guest coming up, and you're being very mysterious about him.
Because, Leo, there's not much I can hide from you because I feel as though you know everything on the internet that's happening. And it's funny, I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently, and he's like, where does Leo find the time to play with all these gadgets and apps? He seems to know it all. So this is a guest who you may not have heard of. His name is John Boswell, and he runs a site called Symphony of Science. And I've been talking a lot about this site. Chris actually recommended it to me. It's very cool. So he basically takes the work of some of the best-known scientists in the world, and he makes interesting sort of musical videos around these scientists, and we'll listen to some of those later.
Sounds so cool.
It's really neat because I think what it helps is to really educate people about science in a fun and interactive way. And also, for some reason, the videos are just so peaceful to listen to. So I know you're going to love it, and we're going to have him on the show in a little bit. I think he's new to Skype and this whole process of live broadcasting, but I think good old Dane got him all set up.
Good old Dane. What would we do without him? Well, do we have some links? I think I'm looking at some links that we should talk about some stuff, and then we'll get John on the line here.
Yeah, we have a few links. You know, I was finding a kind of a weird news week this past few days when I was searching around for links. A lot of news about Google and Microsoft. One of the headlines that kind of topped the list for me was that Google is phasing out Microsoft Windows use inside the Google headquarters. They're worried about it because of security concerns following a Chinese hacking incident. And so kind of interesting.
I kind of knew about this. You know how I knew about this? Because
Colleen?
I guess I can now reveal it. But Colleen said, when she was, because Colleen, our director of engineering, went to Google, her last day was last week, and she said, you know, I can't get a Windows machine, because she's hated it here from day one, because she loves Windows, and we're pretty Mac focused, and she's, you know, she's, and she says, they won't let me have a Windows machine, I have to get a Mac or a Linux, and so that's been in effect for a few weeks.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, if you're a web enterprise and you're doing Python and Java are your chief programming languages, you're probably all your engineers are doing stuff from the command line using a shell. It just makes sense to be using an operating system based that looks like Unix is based on Unix, right? I could see for business the front office even here at Twit runs Windows because of QuickBooks and all the line of business software.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a huge surprise. When I read the news, I thought it was just, kind of a big move on Google's part to actually sort of eliminate using Windows, because that's what we see in many workplaces. Obviously, they're kind of ahead of the curve as far as adopting technology. And right on the heels of this story, I read something about IE6 nearing extinction, which I think we should all have a round of applause.
Yay!
And one of the reasons I wanted to mention this, it was so funny. I had someone email me yesterday and said, hey, I was looking at the MGI Media website, which is my company website, and it looks terrible. There's lines all over the place, and I know you guys do web design, and I can't believe
how could you make such a bad site?
So here I am. I'm horrified, and I didn't get a chance to look into it until today. And then all of a sudden my brother writes him back and says, okay, we're going to look into it, but what browser are you using? And he says, I'm using IE6. Oh. We all just went through the roof, you know?
That's who's cheering this, by the way, is developers, because it's such a pain to have to continue to support 5, 5, and 6 when every other browser, including Internet Explorer, has moved on to the modern times, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And from this article that I read on Mashable, they're saying that now IE6 has less than 5% market share.
Really?
In Europe. Yeah, so it's really dropped off quickly. And of course, it's full of different security holes and issues.
What do you use?
You know, Leo, I'm kind of a weird browser chick in the sense that I actually go between Safari, Chrome, and Firefox. I don't know why, but sometimes I just jump around.
You and I were big Firefox fans, and Mike Shaver's up in Toronto, and we would talk to him all the time. And we really love Firefox.
Yeah, I do, but you know, I've had issues with Firefox.
It's gotten slow.
Yeah, it's slow and it crashes on me. I mean, not all the time, but a fairly regular basis. And I think my heart is kind of going towards Google Chrome.
Me too.
I love that browser. Yeah. So we're on the same path there.
Well, it's now official that it's Linux and Mac as well as Windows. They're out of beta on the Linux and Mac platform. And what's turned me around, and I use Safari still because Safari and Chrome are very similar. They're both WebKit based. But Chrome now has a very robust set of extensions, which was the reason I still was using Firefox. I wanted my delicious extensions and all those other extensions, LastPass and everything. But now Chrome supports them all on the Macintosh. I see no reason not to use Chrome. And Windows is spectacular. On Linux, it's fast. It's reliable. And I can, you know, I use, as you do probably, a number of different computers. And Chrome has built-in bookmark synchronization. So my bookmarks are the same across all platforms. I just love it.
Yeah, I love it too. And, you know, I think even just a simple thing like being able to put a search term into the address bar on Chrome. It's funny because now that I do that all the time and make it a habit, I go to other browsers and then I try to enter the search term in the address bar and it obviously it doesn't work. And so I think like just little things like that, they've kind of perfected as far as understanding habits from a web surfer.
And so, that's by the way, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, well, you and Amber are geeks, so your needs are different. But normal people, I was this morning with my mom. She's using Safari on her iPad, and she's entering, I said, enter the search term. She's entering French laundry, but she puts it in the address bar. I said, no, mom, you got to put it in the Google bar. You don't have to think about that on Chrome. You just type it.
You just do it. Hey, Leo, sorry to go off track here for 1 second, but how does your mom like the iPad? Because Chris and I are thinking of getting his dad one, but we're not sure if he'll love it. Does she love it?
Mom's sitting in the armchair over here. She hasn't stopped using the iPad since she came out 4 days ago. She's addicted. She loves it. Now, I should caution you, she hasn't done anything with the iPad except play this silly little farming game called We Rule. I can't, you know, I said, Mom, before you leave, you better try the email and the browser and this other stuff because you're not going to know how to use any of it. You're going to be great at We Rule, but you're not going to be good at anything else. So are you farming right now, Mom? Of course. She says, of course. That's all she does. So have you played We Rule? Do you know this game?
No, I don't, but I'm taking a look at it now.
It's a little bit like SimCity, kind of, except it's not nearly as sophisticated. You have crops. Wow. Oh, you get to this is a momentous event. I am going to level up. I am at level 24 right now in my little kingdom, Chief Twit. And I'm going
Are you playing while we're doing the show?
No, I'm demonstrating.
Oh, okay, good.
My cabbages, I'm going to just harvest those. And sometime during the harvesting process, I do believe I will level up here to level 25, which until last week, this is a story. Until last week, 25 was the highest level you could get on We Rule. They've just added levels up to 40 and a new Ruby Castle, a new Ruby Grove. I'm at level 25. I've unlocked the Griffin statue, the small purple banner, radishes, and I can upgrade my land and I've got 5 mojo points. Isn't that exciting?
Wow.
Amber, don't look at me like that. That's just not nice.
As long as you're not playing while we're doing this show, I won't be insulted.
Oh, of course not. I would never dream of playing while we... Oh,
I can just imagine under the desk you're doing, you know, playing that game among many others.
It's really... You've played Farmville. It's very much like Farmville. Yes. It's the same idea. Without, I think, as much of the social pressure that Farmville... you know, Mom and I were playing Farmville, and I felt like every time I gave, you know, she gave me a pig, well, now I have to go over and tend her farm and give her something. And yeah, Mom's going, eh, we didn't want, well, neither of us are on Facebook anymore.
Oh, okay. So that helps.
That was kind of a flop. The quit Facebook day yesterday.
I know.
32,000 people. That's it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a flop. Yeah. So, okay, Leo, then you recommend the iPad then.
For your mom?
For my, actually,
your grandma.
My father-in-law.
Your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just, you know, last Friday, I drove down to see Jennifer's dad, my father-in-law, who just turned 80.
Okay.
And gave him an iPad because he was on dial-up. And I said, well, I'll give you a 3G iPad. It's a little harder for him to move around. He has a very nice chair. Jennifer got him a really nice comfy chair. So now he can sit in his comfy chair. He doesn't have to go down to the computer. He doesn't have to do a dial-up. He just sit there with the iPad in his lap. And the thing I told him, and I would suggest this to anybody, I told him it's a toy. Don't feel like you have to get it or understand it or use it seriously. Just think of it as a really cool toy. And I think using it that way is going to take the pressure off, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know. I think you're right. It's more of a fun little gadget.
Yeah. There's all this pressure with computers for security, to use them right, to learn how to use them. You know, it's like a piano or a violin. Well, you got to learn how to. The iPad, you just kind of play with it. And I think he's very comfortable doing that.
Well, I think with most computers, we've looked at them really over the years as productivity tools, right? They've been something that sit in offices that we take home. We have to crowd around and use word processing software. And so they haven't been fun, whereas the iPad really has that fun element.
Fun is key. And I think that changes how people think about computing. Do you remember? I don't know if I ever told you this. You know, you and I did Call for Help in Toronto for some years. And when we first conceived of Call for Help, and Becky Worley, the original producer, is out there, and she'll back me up if I bring her in. We did two shows. I did the Screensavers and Call for Help. And people said, well, what's the difference? Why do you need two shows? And I said, here's why. Some people came to the computer, as I did, playing games on it. It was a toy. We're enthusiasts. We think of it as really cool and fun. But there's a whole group of people who came to a computer at work and they learned word processing, they learned QuickBooks, they learned databasing. For them, it's a tool. It's a productivity tool. And they don't get that mindset that, oh, this is cool, this is fun. They're much more, just show me how to use it.
Yeah.
And so we did two shows, one Screensavers for the toy faction and one Call for Help for the tool faction. When we did it in Toronto, we were only doing one show, so we kind of merged the two. But I think the iPad's bringing the toy back to computer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really excited that you're doing an iPad show with Sarah. That's
a great idea. iPad today. We're going to launch that in the next couple of weeks, yeah.
Because they just surpassed, 2 million?
2 million.
iPads sold?
Now, that sounds like a lot. But I got to put this in perspective. 2 million. We learned at Google I/O that 65,000 Android handsets are sold every day. That's like over.
Really?
Yeah. So if my calculations are correct, let me do a little calculation here.
Oh, never do live math.
I believe.
I learned that a long time
ago. Yeah, I know.
Ago.
I always get it wrong. But I think it was something like 1.8 million. Well, let me just see. 65,000 times 31 days, it's 2 million.
Wow.
It's 2 million. So they're selling as much in 1 month of Android phones as Apple is selling in 2 months of iPad. So you put it in perspective. And Nokia, by the way, is selling more than that in a day or two, every day or two.
It's just the iPad. There's so much hype surrounding it. You know, every time I turn around, there's an iPad story somewhere. And you don't hear a lot about Android handsets at all.
Oh, you will more and more. Yeah, more and more. What do you use these days? What's your
Well, I'm still using BlackBerry? A BlackBerry, but yeah. I'm definitely going to switch over, and I'm going to get an Android-based handset for sure. I just tested out the Motorola Milestone a little while ago, which is like the same thing as a Droid.
Yeah,
yeah, and I loved it, and so I'm going to switch as soon as I get a chance to actually go to the Bell store.
So your Bell, and we have here in the States, Sprint just released or will release on June 4th the Evo, which is my current EVO. Favorite headset. This is HTC. I think HTC is making the best Android handsets. But boy, talk about a web experience that's incredible. I mean, Google has got it down. This is a great. This has everything the iPhone has, and then some. I think so.
I really like
it. Yeah. I mean, and you know, the iPhone next week, we think, will add multitasking so that you can listen to Pandora while you're doing something else on the iPhone. Well, Android's done it, been doing it for a long time now. So, and I know you love Pandora. So I've got my Pandora going, listening to my radio station. And then I can exit out. The radio station continues to play. I can browse, or I can open another application, and I'm still listening to music. So I just think that Apple's playing catch up at this point.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the iPad now, though, in Canada, right?
Yeah. It came out on Friday. So I think so far it's done quite well in Canada. I actually got one in Chicago and ended up giving it to my brother, but I'm probably going to buy one because, you know, at first I thought, okay, I'm going to wait for it to have a built-in camera, but I keep seeing people playing with their iPads and they love them. They're like prized possessions, and I'm full of jealousy.
You don't need the camera. I mean, eventually, yeah. I think I've kind of come around on that. At first I said, oh, no, you don't want a camera. Now I'm thinking, yeah, you want a camera, but you can live without it.
I mean, I have so many computers at home between, you know, me and Chris that I can do a Skype chat on many of them. So maybe the iPad becomes a device to just sort of cart around and travel with.
Well, that's an interesting change. Now, this Evo has a front-facing camera, as will the new iPhone, we think, with iChat. Do you think you'll be making calls with, like, holding up the phone to your face saying, hi, how you doing?
Well, I think I would do that. Yeah. I mean, especially with my family, you know, it's one of those things where just because my family lives 1,200 kilometers away that I'm constantly using Skype to chat with them. And I'd love the idea that I could have a phone with a camera and, you know, go out with my son and, you know, be able to quickly call my mom up at the beach or wherever it might be. So I think as long as it works well, I would use it.
We've got a lot more to do on the show. I mean, I hate to rush us along, but
that's okay.
Tom Merritt's coming up at 2:30, and he's just, you know, he's a son of a gun if I'm not out of here in time.
You get whipped,
right? It's his first day. I don't want to be late on his first day. I'll be late later.
Before,
but we got a great guest coming up. I can't wait to hear this science. You've got a fantastic video of the week, which I love. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Our download of the week. All of that coming up in just a bit, but before we do that, I do want to mention our sponsor of the week, and that's the great folks at Citrix. They do GoToMeeting, GoToMyPC, GoToAssist. Basically, their stuff is based on this very strong, very powerful remote access backbone. They are the guys. In fact, even if you go to a Fortune 500 company and they ask them, what do you use remote access, they'll say Citrix. Citrix is the guy, the big one. GoToMeeting is a perfect example of a product that is easy for anybody to use. In my small business, we use GoToMeeting more and more because, frankly, we don't have the time or money to travel to our clients and colleagues. So we use this for presentations all the time, for sales, for training, for collaborating. GoToMeeting's incredible. It takes that boring old conference call where the people are falling asleep or playing with their iPad and not paying any attention to you, and now they're engaged. They're seeing your slides, your spreadsheets. You're working together. It's like being there in person. You're working on something together. In fact, there's an iPad app, GoToMeeting app on the iPad that's fantastic. So they still get to play with their toy. But instead of, you know, farming while they're talking to you, they're looking at your stuff. You're working together. You're collaborating on documents together. The GoToMeeting iPad app is amazing. It's free. It's all free. The person who pays for it is the person holding the meeting. That's you. And it's only $49 a month for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. And that includes phone and voice over IP conferencing for free. If you ever use this on the iPad, this is when you get your iPad, Amber, this is another thing that's just amazing. So you launch GoToMeeting. You join a meeting. The iPad has a microphone and speakers. I was prepared to get on the conference call. I didn't have to. I'm just sitting here, I'm looking at the stuff, and I'm talking, they're hearing me, I'm hearing them.
Great.
It was amazing.
So jealous right now.
you got to get one. GoToMeeting. Everybody ought to try this. GoToMeeting.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. That's the site to get this absolutely free for 30 days. Best way to try it. Just, you know, just give it a shot. GoToMeeting.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Let me get John on the line here. And while I'm calling him via Skype, you want to set this up?
Yeah, no problem. So a few weeks ago, Chris, who is my better half, you sent me a link to a site called Symphony of Science. And Chris is a huge science fan. And I kind of rolled my eyes as a joke, like, oh, that's probably, you know, far
geeky,
too geeky.
Geeky.
And then I had a look at it. And if you like auto-tune videos and you love science, then this is a site where you can spend a whole lot of time, because John has done a great job of merging the two together with some of the best scientists in the world. And it's just a lot of fun. It's very relaxing. And he is a musician, I think, outside of his day job. And he does a great job of the site. And I think he's a little bit of a geek as well.
Well, let's welcome John Boswell to Net at Night. Hi, John.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Amber.
It's
How
great,
you guys?
Great
Hi,
to
John.
Talk to you.
You too.
Are you a musician first or a scientist first? Or is science just like a hobby?
I am definitely a musician first. I mean, science is something I got into in college. But it's something that I have a strong passion for, and I'm lucky to be able to reach out to people and inspire them with science in this strange method, but it seems to be working. A lot of people are really into it. So,
why science? Do you feel like we need science, better science education?
Well, I think if the general populace was more scientifically oriented, then we would have a lot more, or we would be a lot more geared to handle some of the problems we're facing today, like the BP oil spill and that kind of thing.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, John. No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, being scientifically educated has huge benefits for anybody. I mean, even if you just take a few science classes at your community college or anything, I mean, you can learn a lot about the world that you might not know before, and you can... And these videos can serve as a little tiny introduction to certain subjects that some people might not be interested in unless they have these musical introductions, which is a kind of a quirky way to do it. But it's fun to make. And I get a lot of emails from teachers who say their kids really appreciate these videos, and it's an easy way to introduce them to the concepts.
Give us so. What's one. I mean, I'm looking at your site. What's a good one to you've got? A tribute to Carl Sagan on here, which is great. What's one to pick the playback here?
You know, a lot of people like the first one on Glorious Dawn. That's how the project became popular. The second one is got more people in it, and there's a theme.
Did you have to get rights from Cosmos to do this?
No, I didn't. I actually just went ahead and posted it without asking anybody.
Have you heard from them?
Yeah, I'm in close communication with Andrian, who is Carl's widow. And
so they like this. She likes this.
Yeah, I mean, it's mutually beneficial. I mean, it's a lot of fun for me, and it promotes Carl and all the other people that are in the videos. So it's great fun.
Let me play. Can I play just a little bit of this?
Yeah, go for it.
Please do, Leah.
This is the first one.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
I saw this. I remember this now. Are you auto-tuning him?
Not at this part, but right.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Space is filled with a network of wormholes. You might emerge somewhere else in space. Somewhere else in time.
The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves,
this is beautiful. So the videos from Cosmos mostly?
Yeah, I took the whole series and I cut it up and I kind of searched through the whole thing and picked the best visuals that would go along with the song. And, you know, I did the song first and then I put in all the video parts later, and I just threw this thing on YouTube, said, hey, maybe somebody will like this. You know, I thought maybe just the big Carl Sagan fans would see this, and it became huge. And within a month, it had a million views. I was just shocked, you know.
I totally remember when this went viral, and it was just so cool. But I didn't realize that you've made this a whole site now.
Yeah, and so after that, I was pondering, you know, immediately people were calling, hey, you should make a whole album out of this stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, right, you know, that would be... And then I started thinking, you know, this could be something that could be developed into something much bigger and include more people. And that's when I released the second video, and that was also a success. And since then, it's been, there's just so much stuff to work with online and so many great videos to choose from. And so
this is a lot of work, though. I mean, when you say I went through all of Cosmos and chopped it up, I'm going, oh my God. I mean,
you know, it's not actually not as hard as it seems. I mean, you can pull this stuff into video editing programs, and then you can just kind of scan really quickly. It's like skim reading, but you just
so you must have had some experience with Final Cut before you did this.
Well, I'm actually using Sony Vegas. Not very high quality software, but
no, Vegas is great though. It's a good program. I like it. Yeah.
You know, I'm not very skilled in video editing. I'm more of a musician, but Vegas gets done everything I need to do. So, you know, I haven't had the motivation to move on to Final Cut or anything yet. So,
hey, if it's getting the work done, what do you use for music?
I use primarily Reason. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh yeah. From Propeller.
Yeah. It's a really easy to use program. I've been using it for about 3 years now, and I do almost everything in there, which is, you know, kind of unorthodox, but it works for me. Like I said, I mean,
I bought Reason for my daughter way back when, because she was when she was like 12, she showed a real. And I've got the 30-day free trial, and I spent a lot of money on it and got a keyboard. And then, like 2 days later, Apple came out with GarageBand. Yeah, so it was like, you know, oops.
Yeah. So, John, do you have a day job? I mean, I'm guessing you're doing this in your spare time.
Well, you know, I was unemployed when I released Inglourious Dawn, but now I kind of do some freelance website work, and I've been getting a number of jobs that have, you know, opportunities that have arisen because of this video. I mean, people say, hey, I really like what you did here. Can you do this for us? I mean, can you make this video for our business conference or, you know, some other stuff? And that's just been keeping me afloat. So I'm hoping to push this thing as far as I can and hopefully eventually release some sort of compilation.
Yeah.
All the videos in like a DVD set or something really nice, you know, to sell the teachers and everything.
So. This is the most recent one. This is the Poetry of Reality. We'll play a little bit more just so people can get an idea. But if you just go to symphonyofscience.com, you can see it all. And this one is about what? Is this about ecology?
This one is more about just science itself, and it's a lot of
science.
Sports from
is the best tool ever devised.
It's Michael Shermer of Skeptic Magazine.
Science is a big
Jacob Bronowski.
We are always at the brink of the
You watched a lot of NPR as a kid, I could, or PBS as a kid, I could tell.
You know, my parents were really into it, so I mean, I got into this stuff.
But you know what? You got a good education as a result, John.
Yeah, and I'm helping other people too, so it's a win-win.
It's very different to you.
This is so cool. And I love the auto-tune stuff. Yeah, I love the auto-tune. Auto-tune is really kind of a neat... It's like auto-tune the news. You really can take people who are speaking...
Yeah.
And turn them...
That's what I was inspired by first.
The poetry of reality.
We can do science, and with it, we can improve our lives.
Are you using Reason to do the auto-tuning, or...?
No, it's a program called Melodyne. It works separately from Reason, but it's an amazing program. Once you learn the ins and outs, you can do almost anything. And it's incredible how quickly you can turn somebody saying, you know, science is the poetry of reality into a chorus for a song. You know, it's a lot of work to get all the quotes in, but at the end, when you get the final product, it's well worth it, and people seem to love it. So,
boy, it's just really neat. Richard Feynman now.
There's a larger universal reality.
Ryan
in which
Green.
We are all.
So you got every physicist in the book in here. Stephen Hawking.
The more remarkable are the discoveries we make.
The quest for the truth.
I want every kid to see this.
I know.
It's inspiring.
It's so good. You can also download, you have just audio files as well that you can download from the site for free, right?
Yeah, I mean, people seem to like the songs, you know, on their own as well as just the videos. I mean, I posted a Glorious Dawn. I got, you know, thousands and thousands of downloads the first day, or the first day.
Did you ever imagine that this would be your, you know, this is your breakout? Is
no way. This is something amazing. I mean, I had no idea. You know, I thought maybe this would get 1,000 views over time or something, which would be exciting for me at the time. You know, I was like, hey.
It's
Carl
what
Sagan, you know, he's not that popular these days, but.
Oh, he is now. He ended up
being a great promotional tool for.
But it's also thanks to you. I think there are a lot of people your age who grew up watching Cosmos, so they have this natural love for him. But then I think a whole new generation has discovered him. I could see why his widow is so happy to have you do this.
Yeah, and we're in close communication. Good. She loves all the videos as well.
Oh, it's just great. Moving.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. You've done such a nice job.
Yeah, and I have a new one on Mars coming out actually on Thursday, hopefully. So, yes, watch out for that. That'll be a good one. I'm pretty proud of it. So, it's been a long time coming.
Oh, on Thursday. Right.
Yeah.
We got a scoop.
And people can donate as well to keep the site going, right? Which I'm sure would help.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it worth my time is that, you know, people send me some money occasionally for doing this stuff. And it's really keeps me motivated to keep making these because it's a lot of fun, but it also takes a lot of time. So, and people understand that. So I get money, which is great.
Could this be a full-time gig, you think?
Possibly. If I had more time to just focus straight on these videos, I could crank out one every 2 weeks or every month. But, sometimes I hit a writer's block and that takes away a lot of time. Sure. So,
John, it's just this to me is one of the things that is so inspiring about the free and open web and the tools that are available is that somebody who has an idea and a vision doesn't have to convince a television network or anybody. You just do it.
Exactly. And I've been really lucky that none of the copyright holders have really put that much pressure on me at all. I mean, I've been free to do whatever I want with these clips, and it's just been beneficial for everybody, I think. I don't think anybody who's in the videos would say, hey, take me out of that. That's not good for my image or anything. Wow. People get into these videos, and they learn about the people, and it's just a win-win for everybody, I think.
Is this your first mashup video?
A Glorious Dawn was not. I did one with Billy Mays, which was kind of a goof off video, and I just put it up and that, it's got some attention, but it doesn't have the seriousness and refinement that a Glorious Dawn has. And that was my really first.
Hi, Billy Mays here to share with you the most important product I have ever.
This was right after he died, so it was kind of a tribute type thing, but,
it's actually really. He makes Billy sound so much better.
Yeah. He does have a natural singing voice once you put him through the software.
He's beautiful.
He's yelling, so.
It's quite beautiful. It's inspiring. Wow. John, so cool to meet you. And
thank you.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Yeah, and so inspiring. Symphony.
Keep it up.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, yeah, Thursday, new video, so watch out for that.
You're doing a huge
amount.
We'll
promote it like
crazy. Yeah, this is science education. And the part of the education that is often neglected, which is the inspiration, because, you can be taught science, and this doesn't really teach science, but it inspires you to the grand vision of people like Richard Dawkins and Carl Sagan and Hawking. And that's, you got to have the inspiration, and that powers you through everything else. So,
exactly.
A very important part of it. And thank you for doing it. It's just great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been fun.
Thank you, John. John Boswell, Symphony of Science.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks, Leo.
Take care. Wow, is that neat. Amber, thank you.
Well, it's funny because when I watched them for the first time and Chris showed them to me, they're mesmerizing. I mean, just sit there and just get absorbed in the videos. I can't imagine a science video that I would feel as glued to. And it's just a really fun little project that he's put together. And he's so humble and hope he keeps it up.
It's really, really, really neat. Wow. Symphonyofscience.com. And if you go there, put a little money in the tip jar. Because it'd be nice if this could be his full-time gig. He could do this all the time.
It would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We still got more. In fact, we've got another great video for you. We've got the application of the week and the video of the week coming up. Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte with Net at Night. Before we go much farther, though, Amber, I would like to mention our good friends at Audible.com. Audible is the place, the bookstore of the internet. But then not just paper books, not paper books at all, in fact. It's audio books, the kinds of books that I am hooked on. And I want to, frankly, I'm going to be very blunt with you. I want to get you hooked on. You're already listening to audio entertainment, so I know that or watching, I suppose. But I know that you kind of can absorb information through your ears, right? We know that. That's a given.
Yes.
you wouldn't be here if you couldn't. Audible is the way to get you back reading, and I think that this is something that is kind of an important thing for me. I got busy in life. I did a lot of other things, and by the time I got home and got in bed, I'd read half a page and that's it. And what happened is I kind of got out of reading for a while. Life, you know, took over. But reading is such a joy to me. And it's also, frankly, important, a way to stay in touch with what's going on, to learn, to keep the mind growing. And Audible brought me back to reading because I can read all those times that I've got time but no way to hold a book when I'm driving the car on the commute. That's how I first got into it, when I had that long commute to Tech TV. Now in the gym, I listen all the time. Even when you're doing housework or just walking the dog, audible.com. Now, I'm very excited there. Was it you who recommended Stieg Larsson's books to me?
I don't think so.
Okay. He is, these are all been published posthumously. He was a newspaper reporter I think it's Sweden. Boy, I hope it's Sweden. I'll hear from all our Swedish friends if not. So I know how you feel about Sweden, right?
Yes, we love it.
Yeah. And there was a great article about this in the Sunday Times last week, so you might want to read it. But there's a trilogy that is being published. The last one is just about to come out. The first you might have heard of, it was a big bestseller called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes.
Have you read it?
I haven't, but every time I fly anywhere, I see someone on the plane reading it. I need
people
to get that.
Love it. And then Stieg wrote a sequel to that, which was called The Girl Who Played with Fire. And now the new one is just coming out, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. So they're calling it the Millennium Trilogy. I have downloaded all three, but I'm starting with the first, and I want to read them in order. But I'm so excited about this. Now, this is just coming out. The book itself just came out, and already Audible's got it, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. So if you're already a Stieg Larsson fan, go ahead and get The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. But if you're not, if you like thrillers, mysteries, adventure, there's a very strong female protagonist who's a computer hacker. So I think it might appeal to some of you who listen to this show. Let me play a little bit of this. Is from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You can listen to this on audible.com.
Seeds or plants, and those could have changed hands between friends or been bought by mail order from anywhere in Europe, anywhere in the Antipodes.
One of the things the New York Times said that people like about these books is it shows us a side of Sweden that we don't really, you know, you think of Sweden as clean and perfect and Ingmar Bergman and all of that.
It isn't.
No, this shows you kind of the seedy side, the real Sweden.
Oh, I don't want to see.
No, you do. You do. Apparently, it's a fantastic novel. I'm so excited. This might be, I guess, it's my next read on audible.com. Maybe it's yours, too. Get it for free. Simon Vance, by the way, who's reading it, is one of their best readers.
30 years ago, the regular arrival of the flower was the object of much scrutiny at the National Forensic Laboratory among fingerprint experts.
So you can, the thing about Simon, you can really get into it. You just listen, and pretty soon the reader disappears, and you're in the book. You're living the book. In a book like this, you want to be in it. It's like watching a movie in your head. They are making movies out of these, of course, but listen to the book first. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that's my recommendation for this week's Audible free book, but you've got 75,000 to choose from. Go to audible.com/night, pick a book, listen, and love it. I know you will. Your first book's free, audible.com/night. And we thank you so much for your support, Audible, for the last, 4 years they've made this show.
I
and all
didn't
our shows
know they had radio shows like Car Talk on there.
Yeah.
That you could buy. It's fun.
You can subscribe to newspapers. There's a New York Times subscription. You can subscribe to NPR shows. So, there's no podcast of Car Talk. So, this is the only way to get Car Talk.
That's very cool.
Yeah, click and climb.
I think I might get The Bedwetter by Sarah Silverman. I know she's a little crass, but I love her.
You're going to love it. You know what? It's a great book.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm in the middle of it right now. We have similar tastes. You're so funny.
Yeah,
I did not think that you would like her because she's big into poop humor, frankly.
I know. I just like her. There's something about her that is just so likable, and she's so real, and she's a little raw, but I just think she's great.
Well, it's funny because you get a huge amount of sympathy for her after you kind of understand why who she is and a lot more about her. Yeah, it's a great book. Bedwetter. Is that on Audible? I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I got to get that.
All right. We got two books for you to listen to. You take your pick. Now, by the way, if you listen to The Bedwetter, that's for adults. It is.
Yes.
You know, if you have seen Sarah Silverman's show,
It's not potty training for toddlers.
Well, just the title should tell you, The Bedwetter, Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee. She was a bedwetter till late in life, and I think that that kind of influenced. Did you see there's also the Poop My Dad Says is now a book?
You mean a TV show?
And a book. On Audible.
Yes, I did say it was a book. It's on Audible?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the voice of the dad is, it's great.
That's funny.
And that's a Twitter feed is a book now, for crying out loud.
That's amazing. That's a great story. We should get that guy on.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Let's get Justin on. Justin Halpern, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'll try to chase him because that would be good.
All right, a couple more links before we let you go and get ready for our brand new show.
We got to finish on time.
Tech news today, Becky Worley and Tom Merritt waiting in the wings, champing at the bit, so to speak. Is it mom?
Can't wait to watch. Okay.
Let me ask my mom this. Because she's the linguistic expert in the family. Champing at the bit or chomping at the bit? Chomping. You say chomping? I say champing.
I say chomping.
You say chomping? I say champing. Horses champ. Chomp, both are correct. I looked this up once. I looked it up once. Both are correct.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because it bugged me. And actually, if Grammar Girl comes in the studio, if Minion ever comes in the studio again, I'm going to ask her.
Ask her.
Yeah. Anyway, another link here. This is this is unusual for you. Well, go ahead. You could do a couple more links, and then we'll do the software, the download of the week. You haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. So are you looking at the video link?
Let's start with the users in the U.S. watched. How many hours of video in April?
They watched 30.3 billion videos in April. I had to read this over and over again to make sure that I was reading it correctly. And I know. It does not seem possible. It's a phenomenal number.
30 billion videos.
I know. And there was a big spike with Vivo videos. And you remember we reviewed Vivo a while ago where you can watch music videos. And that site
it's has Lady Gaga. It's all Lady Gaga. Yeah. It's her fault. I blame her.
You sound like a New Yorker when you say Gaga.
It's all Lady Gaga. That's what it is. Lady Gaga. Well, you know, and the other thing is that about 80% of that is off YouTube. Vivo is YouTube as well. But it's Vivo, YouTube, all of the YouTube properties.
Yeah. So some pretty amazing growth.
And I guess we're part of that. We're video.
Yeah.
I don't think we're, you know, in the billion range.
It's only a matter of time, Leo.
But a few of you watched the video. You can watch us live. We do it live streaming over live.twit.tv every Tuesday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. That's 20:30 UTC for our Swedish viewers at live.twit.tv. But you can also download it on iTunes or Roku Box. You can watch the video in places like that. And Amber's so lovely that you really should be watching the video.
Leo, thank you very much. So, I'll send you money in the mail.
So gorgeous. Here's the software download of the week. What is this? Rock Your Firefox.
Destroy the web. Okay, Leo, this is very odd. This is not useful. This is a total time waster. The idea behind it is that it's a Firefox download that can turn any web page into an arcade game. So you can use all of the different buttons on your computer.
You shoot at the pages?
Yeah, you just shoot at the pages.
Oh, boy.
It's silly. It's silly, Leo.
Wow.
But I had to include something silly now and again because sometimes we get very serious.
And they also have a leaderboard. If you go to destroytheweb.net, you could see who the top players are. Number one player, by the way, Booyah, was beating up Sugar CRM, which is an open source CRM. Huh. Booyah's good. You don't want to mess with Booyah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Google.com.
Not that I expect you to play this next time we're doing the show.
Does it make pew, pew, pew sounds?
Little sounds, yeah.
Pew, 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 pew.
A lot of fun.
So you have to have Firefox for that one. That's not you can't use Chrome on that one.
And then, Leo, our video of the week. I don't know if you've seen this. And I don't think there's anything X-rated in this video as far as I know from watching the whole thing.
I don't care if there is because I want to say X-rated things about Facebook anyway.
Okay, so this is the Quit Facebook parody, and it's just a lot of fun. It pokes fun at many different facets of Facebook, and I think it's a good video to leave with today Facebook has been in the news a lot lately.
Amber MacArthur is on City TV. Is that right?
CP24.
CP24. Stop, Leo. Hit me.
CTV. It's okay.
CTV.
Used to be
on City TV. It's now on CTV. You can also watch her video podcast, The Fabulous. The wonderful video podcast that she does. And the name of it is
Command N.
Why would I forget that? Command N.TV.
You just blank on
I blank sometimes. And, it's the age.
And Leo, my book's coming out next Thursday. So,
What?
Yeah.
You buried the lead.
Yeah, you know what, though? You have one in the mail coming to you. So,
what's it called?
It's called Power Friending, and you can order pre-order it now. Yep.
Amazon.com, Power Friending. Get Amber's first book, first edition. And then that way, when you meet Amber, you can get her to sign it, and it's doubly valuable.
Doubly. Put it on eBay.
Congratulations. Thursday, the book comes out.
A week from Thursday.
A week from Thursday. Well, we'll celebrate next week. We'll have a cake.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Amber MacArthur. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on Net at Night. And listen, if you haven't quit Facebook yet, maybe it'd be a good time to start right now.
Yeah, this song right here goes out to the mamas, baby mamas, mamas who have their baby as their profile picture. Yes, I know you like to procreate, and I know what a sonogram is, but you don't have to show the world. I'm quitting you Facebook, info you steal. Never once another friend request, I'll ignore that page you do suggest. I'm quitting you Facebook, info you steal. Never once another friend request, I'll ignore that page you do suggest. Those pity party updates, I don't want to read. Save your problems for the shrink and not my news feed. Remember when Facebook was for a college kid? I'm sorry, Mom, but your friend requests are forbid. There's people who want you to know that they exist. They update their statuses with crap like this.
OMG, did you see Spencer on the hills?
I just grew an acre of corn on my Farmville. Well, you might just think that's an amazing feat, but I grew and drank a cake of golden wheat. So the next time you drop your phone in the toilet, don't send me an invite, cause you are dumb as shit. I'm quitting you, Facebook.